We are working our way through 1 Chronicles, and this morning we are currently in chapter 13, leaving off on chapter 12 last week. We see this morning, as David last week was anointed king, one of the first things he did was, you know, retake Jerusalem from the Jebusites. Now, they said, you can't come in here. And by the end of the verse, it was called the City of David. And how he now, occupying the center of the land, wants to bring the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem. Yeah, the right thing. And, you know, we see familiar territory. We've seen this. You know, it's parallel to 2 Samuel 5 and 6. But again, we see some good instruction about how David, wanting to do the right thing, really the wrong way, and the results, and really what changed everything. Look in chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. Then David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said to all the assembly of Israel, if it seems good to you, if it is of the Lord our God, let us send out to our brethren everywhere who are left in all the land of Israel, and with them to the priests and the Levites who are in their cities and their common lands, that they may gather together. And let us bring the ark of our God back to us, for we have not inquired at it since the days of Saul. Then all the assembly said they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. David wanting to bring the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, into its rightful place, and consult it with the people. People say, hey, man, that sounds great. Let's do it. David's, you know, reasoning is we haven't inquired of God before. It's not been in its rightful place and since the days of Saul. Last week when we seen the end of Saul's life, the reason why he died, he didn't inquire of God. He turned to a medium, a witch from Endor, one of the reasons, causes of his death. But here, David wanting to do the right thing. The Bible says he consulted the multitudes, which isn't always the right thing to do. You know, the Bible tells us that there's wisdom in, you know, with many counselors. But that wisdom isn't always the right wisdom. But he consulted with everybody and, you know, they say, hey, let's do it. It's the right thing. But then as the story goes on, we're acquainted with, you know, they built a new cart. Pulled by oxen. They placed the Ark of the Covenant on the new cart and they headed towards Jerusalem. The Bible tells us, and it became unsteady. Look at verse, I don't have it written down here. It's in the chapter. It's steady. And Uzzah reached out his hand to steady the ark. The Bible says that it aroused the anger of God, and God killed him. He died. David, through a stumbling of the ox cart, it exposed God's disapproval of the manner in which they moved the Ark of the Covenant. David, the Bible tells us in verse 11, chapter 13, says that David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. Therefore, that place is called Perez, Uzzah, to this day. David, verse 12, was afraid of God that day, saying, how can I bring the Ark of God to me? He became angry. He was excited. He consulted the people. They wanted to do the right thing, bring the Ark of the Covenant back. But the Bible says that he was frustrated. He became confused because he was seeking to do the right thing. And then, you know, Uzzah, just through the stumbling of the ox cart, you know, died as a result of touching the Ark of the Covenant. So David was frustrated. And really, within his question, tells us wherein laid the problem. He says, how can I, in verse 12, how can I, capital I, bring the Ark of God to me? You know, that's the problem. You know, he can't. We can't. You know, we want God to move in our lives. You know, we want to see God move. And he tried to bring it about. It's the right thing to do. God wants to move in our lives. But the way in which he did it, you know, even building a new ox cart, new methods, you know, 10 steps to a better you, purpose-driven ideas that can, you know, bring forth God's presence and spirit in your life. It's a new idea, new ox cart. Certainly, it's a way that God will bless. I mean, after all, we are making effort towards what's right. David became angry, frustrated, because what God did didn't make any sense to him. The Bible says that he consulted the others. Everybody was for it. Everybody was in agreement. Let's do it. Brand new cart. The Bible said he even played music before it. Kind of had like a parade going. Everything seemed right, but God interrupted it. It wasn't right. Something was wrong. And what exposed the disapproval of God was the stumbling. You know, sometimes things are going well in our lives. Going along well, the income's flowing, no problems in relationships, job's going well. But then there's a problem, a trouble arises, a stumbling. And through the stumbling or the problem, we recognize something isn't right. And that's what David came to the conclusion of. He's angry and frustrated. Something isn't right. This isn't like God. Trying to do the right thing the wrong way. The Bible tells us, it's interesting, in chapter 14, he kind of laid it down. He let the Ark of the Covenant go to the closest Levite's home. Obed-Edom. And then in verse 2 of chapter 14, the Bible says that David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel, for his kingdom was highly exalted for the sake of his people Israel. David was frustrated and angry because of what God did, frustrating his plans. How can I bring the ark? How can I bring God in my life? How can I make God move in my life? And then he laid it down, and it's interesting how God broke through to him, drew him to himself, how God draws us to himself. The first way here in verse 2, chapter 14, is by his acknowledgement. He starts to realize, oh, God has blessed me. He's behind it. He's behind how I've become king. It was his plan. He's behind how I've been exalted among the people. It's God's power. It's his blessings. It's his benefits he's poured out on my life. God's starting to chip away at David. And how the means by which he communicates or breaks through to David is, first of all, through his blessings. God blessed him. Exalted him. Even when the Ark of the Covenant ended up at Obed-Edom's house there for 3 months, the Bible says that God blessed Obed-Edom and all that he had. Just poured out his blessing. See, God wants to bless. God blessed Obed-Edom. God blessed David. God blesses us. He wants to bless. But his blessing and his blessings he uses to reach David and draw him and break through to him. Something was wrong. God intervened. But in this next chapter, as David laid it down, he acknowledges that word know in verse 2. David knew. Some versions are perceived. It actually means he learned to know. He came to know that God's behind our benefits and blessings, that it is God that's given us what we have. And coming to the acknowledgement of it, he moves on. The Bible tells us next in verse 10, we see David inquiring of the Lord. He's praying, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands?" And the Lord said to him, "Go up, for I will deliver them into your hand." And not just once, but he again asks, inquires of the Lord, and God answers in verse 14. Therefore David inquired again of God, and God said to him, "You shall not go up after them. Circle around them. Come upon them in front of the mulberry trees." And he says, when you hear the chariots and the mulberry trees, the noise, attack. He answered David. David's not only acknowledging how he's blessed him, he's starting to converse with him. He's turning to him. He's praying to him. And God's answering. See, God answers when we pray. And as he answers, notice he answered differently. First time, the Philistines came upon him. They seen David being exalted in Israel. Hey, well, something's going on over there. It doesn't look good. The nation's unifying. So they went out to attack David. The Bible says that God answered David when he said, "Shall I attack them? Go for it. Attack them. I'll deliver them into your hands." Then he prays again. And the next time, God answers, "No, don't attack them face on. We're gonna have an ambush." You know, God answers, but he answers with different methods. As with David, as David's starting to acknowledge God's blessings, his prayer life, his relationship with him starts to grow and thrive. We see God answering his prayer. And then in verse 11, we see this breakthrough. We didn't talk about it much in Samuel. But this morning, the Bible, in verse 11, says, "So they went up to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. Then David said, 'God has broken through my enemies by my hand like a breakthrough of water.' Therefore they called the name of the place Baal Perazim," which means the Lord of the breakthrough. God breaks through. You know, the idea of the definition of the word is like water gushing, an outburst of water breaking through, whoosh, just kind of wiping out what's in its path. God, the Lord of the breakthrough. David acknowledging the blessings of God. He's behind it. David conversing, praying with God. David seeing the victories in his life that God has wrought, and attributing them to God. It's God's breakthrough. It's interesting. You see, you know, in these four chapters, the opposition of the enemy, the need of God's breakthrough. In this portion, we've seen the Philistines, you know, coming upon, attacking David, and God overcoming his enemies, defeating his enemies, the opposition that come against us. The Philistines, in verse 8, the Bible says they seen David and they came against him, representing a demonic type opposition. Another opposition that comes against us or God's plan, and we find in the last chapter when David said, "How can I bring God's ark here?" That's a big opposition to God. When we got that capital I operating in our life, what can I do for God? How can I cause God to move? And how it created a problem. And it really was an opposition to God's movement in chapter 13, verse 12. And then another opposition. Look in chapter 15, verse 29. As they brought the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem, David now in sync with God's will, dancing and praising the Lord. In verse 29, the Bible says, "And it happened as the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David whirling and playing music, and she despised him in her heart." Another opposition is, you know, actually her name's pronounced Michael, but I don't want to call her Michael. But here she is watching David just being praising and worshiping and dancing before the Lord as God's moving again, as they're moving with God according to his word. And she despised him in her heart. Another form of opposition to God is our sin. She had hatred in her heart. And, you know, we see forms of opposition. The enemy, the Philistines, demonic opposition. We see our own plans, our own ideas, our own ambition, our own understanding. We see the sin in our heart as an opposition to God's plan. Something was wrong. They started to move the Ark of the Covenant. You know, things were going along well. And then it seems like God interrupted them with a blatant display of disapproval in their life. God was angry with them. There was an opposition to them, even though they were seemingly doing the right things. Another form of opposition is, you know, understanding or recognizing the disapproval of God. We see, you know, this, what could be represented by the Philistines, the demonic opposition, or ourselves, or our sin, or the opposition of God himself. You know, the opposition of God's disapproval in our and towards us and against our actions, you know, can be a formidable opposition that would stunt our spiritual growth or progress. We see this because this is exactly what it was. They were trying to do the right thing the wrong way. You know, bring the Ark of the Covenant back. You know, and they were praising and worshiping him. The Ark of the Covenant belongs, you know, in the center of the nation. David, you know, worshiping, praising. Everybody's in unison. Yeah, he's the king. The nation's united. But God just demonstrated this disapproval of their actions. We see that, you know, there's an application to the Old Testament and the teachings, you know, that there's a king, the new king, David, new king coming. He takes Jerusalem, the center or the heart of the land, you know, the king in the heart. The opposition to the king and the new government, the people, the Bible says Israel, the actual name Israel means governed by God. The people of the nation under the government of the new king. The opposition that comes against the new king in the heart and his new government. We see the opposition is ourselves. We see it as the sin, as she had hatred and bitterness in her heart towards David. We see the sin in our own lives is much opposition to God, his new government in our life, the new king, Jesus, over and in our heart. We see this in the disapproval of God's demonstrating you're doing something wrong. Something isn't happening. And the reason it isn't happening is there's a problem. Whenever there's a problem, we can be assured that the problem's on our end. And David comes to terms with this. You know, as in chapter 14, he starts to ponder the blessings of his life, recognizing that God's behind them. He starts to pray. And God answers. He starts to realize and experience victory over the enemies. He sees God breaking through. Breaking through over the enemies. You know how God broke through the next chapter in the Open Bible, a Bible I study at home. The heading of chapter 15 is the spiritual preparation of moving the ark. See, now they're prepared. Now they're ready. Now David, now that he's acknowledging what went wrong, puts his finger on it. Now he's understanding. God's not mad at him. But God's firm in the way he wants to move. The Bible tells us, look in verse 3, chapter 15. As David, 15:13. As David acknowledges, for because, talking to the Levites, he said, you did not in the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us because we did not consult him about the proper order. They didn't ask the Lord. They didn't pray. They didn't do it the right way. They didn't do it God's way. They tried to do it their own way, as we often try to do it our own way. How can I cause God to move in my life? David, acknowledging the problem, kind of troubleshooting it, he sees that it was because it's our fault. It's my fault. As he identifies a problem, you know, we did not consult him. We didn't ask God about the proper order. There's a change of attitude in David and David's approach in this chapter. We see in verse 15, chapter 15, the Bible says that, and the children of the Levites bore the ark of God on their shoulders by its poles, as Moses had commanded according to the word of the Lord. It was moved not according to the word of God. Now he's, you know, getting the proper order in the right way from the manual. He's getting it from the Bible. Now he's starting to understand, hey, it's my fault. It isn't God's fault. And according to the scripture, God's given us a prescribed manner in order to move the Ark of the Covenant. The Bible tells us in the law that he told Moses that it's the Levites to move, and specifically the Kohathites, Levi's son, to move the Ark of the Covenant, and how they were to move it. Slip poles through the rings, if you recall. Place it on your shoulders and carry it. Not place it on a cart, even if it's a new cart. But God had a way in which he desired to have the Ark of the Covenant moved. So David, coming to terms with what happened, he identifies the problem. We didn't consult him. We didn't even pray about this. Yeah, we consulted one another, and we often do. Hey, we'll, you know, get the majority to agree with us. The majority is wrong. But then he recognizes the problem. He isolates. He says, we didn't try to move it according to the word of God, according to the scripture, according to the manual. He gets perspective as he lays down the Ark of the Covenant. He gets perspective that God is for me. He wants to bless me. He, through prayer, the Bible tells us that, you know, a relationship with him. He converses with the Lord and the Lord answers. But he accepts, you know, the problem is on my end. Accepts it. We didn't do it the right way. We have a problem. And the problem is on our fault. And the Bible says that, you know, he has this breakthrough in chapter over the enemies in the last chapter. He has a breakthrough over the Philistines as if God, you know, an outburst of water came and wiped out the enemy. Now, the opposition to God and God's plan and God's way of wanting to move in our life is my sin, is the enemy, demonically. And what breaks through the opposition? He says he's the Lord of the breakthrough. And he describes, you know, this breakthrough process. It's like an outburst of water. And he recognizes, oh, God loves us. He wants to bless us. And who gave us victory over our enemy? God of the breakthrough and an outburst of water. Jameson, Foster, Brown, in their commentary, they said it expresses a sudden and complete overthrow as this outburst of water, victory over my heart, over my sin, over my plans. You know, it's interesting. You know, Jesus uses the same analogy, you know, in John chapter 7. He says, you know, if any man thirsts, let him come to me. And out of his heart will flow forth rivers of living water. That water. And interesting, Jesus says, not river, rivers of living water. An outburst of bursting water. Defeating my sin, myself. Demonic opposition. Outburst of water gushing forth. We see the results of David coming to terms with the problem. God seems to be disapproving of something I'm doing. David comes to terms. You know, it's not that he doesn't want to bless me. He has blessed me. He is blessing me. It's not that he doesn't want to give me victory over my enemies. But he's like an outburst. He breaks through. Whenever I ask him, he gives me victory. But he comes to terms, and he isolates the problem. I'm doing it my way. I'm not doing it according to the scripture. The results of doing it God's way, he turns it around. In chapter 15, in verse 25, and it happened, as the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, I'm sorry, verse 25. So David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the house of Obed-Edom with joy. And so it was when God helped the Levites who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord that they offered seven bulls and seven rams worship. Natural response. As he seen God helping, God's blessing. God's with us. He worshiped God. There was joy, accompaniment. Not only the music and the praise and the worship, but joy. Approval of God. Acceptance of God. The results of doing it God's way. You know, I titled the message this morning, you know, a breakthrough for Thanksgiving. Kind of a Thanksgiving alignment. I've been looking at gas mileage on vehicles lately on the internet, doing all kinds of research. You know, and you've heard it before. You know, what adds to the gas mileage is, you know, got to have your tires properly inflated, good tires. A tune-up, important. You need a good tuned-up vehicle. But one thing that, you know, may not be aware of is if the car's out of alignment, you know, a little bit, chips away at the gas mileage. You need a alignment in order to get the most out of your vehicle. And here, David came to that realization. He aligned himself. And God's blessing me. Everything I have is because of him. And he, you know, prayed and God gave him victory. He's God of the breakthrough. And then, out of natural response, he's got joy and worship. It's no longer kind of going through the motions in his own heart and his own way, but it's according to God's way. Jesus said, you know, we worship him in spirit and in truth, doing it God's way. There's joy. Bearing witness of God's help and presence, there's worship. And then the psalm that we read this morning, over and over again in the psalm, you know, in verse 4, chapter 16, And he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the Ark of the Lord to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. This psalm came out as a result of being right with God. They were prepared. And not only prepared for thanksgiving, but what came out of their worship was thanksgiving. In verse 8, chapter 16, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples." Look at verse 34. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever." I like this because it's not just because of what he's given me or who he is, but it's because of the showering of the grace over his life. "Oh, thank you, Lord, for the grace that you've poured on my life, for your mercy endures forever." In verse 35, "Give thanks and say, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles to give thanks." Deliver us so that we can give thanks. "Save us, Lord, that we may give thanks to your holy name." Give us a breakthrough, Lord, that we might be grateful and honest and truly thankful to you. You know, being ready for Thanksgiving. You know, you might have the attitude, you know, I ain't got nothing to give thanks for. But there's so much to give thanks for. And here, this proper alignment, preparing David to give thanks to the Lord through worship. Give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. And then in verse 41, he repeats, and with them, Heman and Jeduthun, and the rest who were chosen, who were designated by name to give thanks to the Lord, because his mercy endures forever. They had designated thanksgivers. David was cool, man. He set up a whole worship, you know, band right there in Jerusalem before the ark, you know, stringed cymbals, like a marching parade, constant worship ongoing in Jerusalem before the Lord, to the Lord, because of him. But here, you know, we see the outburst, breakthrough that's necessary to overthrow the enemy, our enemy. And, you know, David simply by inquiring of the Lord, "Lord, should I go against the Philistines?" "Go for it, David. I'll hand them over to you." Like a burst, he wiped them out. Let's stand. Breakthrough for a thanksgiving, that the Lord might prepare us for thanksgiving, that we might have the right heart, attitude of gratitude, the right disposition before him, as David went through that change of attitude. And why? Because of the blessings, because of prayer and answered prayer, because of him accepting that the opposition of God's disapproval in his own life was because it was his fault, not God's fault. And him coming to terms with it, making things right. Let's pray. Lord, we look to you. We thank you. We thank you for your word. And we do, Lord, ask that you would break through. Lord, there would be an outburst of living water in us, over us, that you would overwhelm our heart, the center of the land, Lord, that the king would be enthroned and he would reign. And things would be set in order, Lord, that we would walk after you according to your word, worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, let us bear witness that you're here, that you're helping, that joy, natural result of joy, praise, worship come forth out of our heart. And Lord, the sin in our heart, that you would overcome by you, Lord, and your simple power and breakthrough of your presence and spirit. Jesus, you said that, you know, if we believe in you, rivers of living water will spring forth through our hearts. And Lord, we believe and we turn to you and we call on your holy name. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your presence, your work, your power. And Lord, we do ask that you would touch each and every one of us and fill us, Lord, with life, that we would have a heart of thankfulness, a right attitude, Lord, as we approach this upcoming holiday, that we credit and glory you. See your hand, Lord, behind the scenes and how much you've blessed us. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.